JC2S, Part 1.
Number 3A.
Yes, we want to look now at the place value again of this chapter within the textbook. We know through our work with matrices that every matrix has an A, an I, and a J, so I needn't have to explain these things, seeing that this is an advanced class. But we know then that the formula for a matrix is that the A carries the subject, the I is the column index or the dominant, and the J is the row or horizontal index. In this chapter, science, theology, and medicine is the subject then of its place value as the sixth chapter of The Christ is the Christ, where we see then that the A of this chapter is Christian Science, and therefore Christian Science as seen from the standpoint of the Christ in absolute Christian Science, that law of translation of principle God to its idea, and the Christ in Christian Science, which is then the retranslation out of everything that isn't like that principle God through the law of translation and retranslation. Now, we get this subject then from the big pith of the chapter then would be these two translations. It is, they are the hinge, it's really this law, as we saw last evening, of the science of the Christ, the science which governs changes, that is the science of the law of translation and reformation, which comes from this chapter, the main point of the chapter then on page 115 and 116. That here we then have this law giving coming in at the point of mind is love. Really seeing then that this is then a subject going out from mind, from the basis of reasoning of mind, but a mind which is love, a mind which is go-causality, where we can see that that mind which is God then comes to every single situation presenting its idea, presenting its image, and that when and that image understood causes the retranslation from a misunderstanding of that idea of the first degree through false beliefs about that idea, attenuating, disappearing, finally into the third degree of understanding, where the love tone is that in that third degree of understanding, mortal mind disappears, and man as God's image appears. So that is the goal, really, then, is that of the chapter is to show that mind, God, comes to every situation bringing its idea, and when that idea is understood, it retranslates out everything that isn't like that idea back into the divine mind, and therefore we have mortal mind disappearing and man is God's image or man is God's idea appearing. This then is the hinge. This translation and retranslation is going on in the universe, including man, including individual man, the collective, the universe, in science, theology, and medicine. So we see then, and we know, again, I do not have to teach these translations, again, because this is an advanced class. We have had now summer schools in the past on the Christ, and therefore on these two translations, and we know then that we have plenty of literature that we can go to on these two translations. But then we look at it just a bit closer. You see then that it is starts what we call the first translation is always then that scientific translation of immortal mind. We call it first, don't we, because it begins first here in the textbook for a reason, to show them that that is that scientific translation of immortal mind is that translation of Emmanuel, God with us, of absolute Christian Science. Showing then how God is with its idea, how God is with man with its idea. You can see the big points of God, man, idea. And that God is with man, idea, through then the order, showing us in that law of translation, on how God is with man, idea, by God, principle, which is life, truth, and love, always is translating itself through soul. Soul is the hinge of this translation. We will hear over and over and over again in this chapter how soul, always soul, making subject object one, making, Schilling said, reality at its deepest level where subjective and objective is one. Soul always bringing out the equipoise, always bringing out the balance, always bringing out the symmetry between subject and object being one. That homeostasis is being brought out by soul, where the subjective principle objectifies itself at the point of soul, where the subjective is objectified and soul keeps that subjective in its objective manifestation one, always in balance. That's the office of soul. That's identity, isn't it? Identity means self-sameness. So soul maintains that identity. It maintains that identity intact. It maintains the equality between the noumenon and phenomenon, between God and his thoughts, between cause and effect. So finally in the chapter she can show that mind is one and all inclusive, including noumenon and phenomenon, including mind being the cause and all effect. All this is soul, maintaining that balance between subject and object. That's why soul has to do with translation, because soul will translate what that balance is to every single situation and retranslate out, cause a reformation or a retranslation out of and back into the land of our true identity. If there is the belief that something else is going on besides soul, besides our identity, besides that balance between subject and object, then it's the office of soul then to translate what that identity is to every situation and retranslate out the belief that something else is going on besides that identity. Hence, soul is the hinge of this translation and retranslation, as we have learned then in our work. Now, we see then that this principle, which is God, which is life, truth, and love, that potential power, which is a dynamic power, which is a consciousness power, which is an all-engaging power, which is that principle, life, truth, and love, that at the point of soul, then that is objectified, and soul then becomes the hinge of making that subject and object one, and spirit then takes that principle, which... And in order to have subject and object one, soul's maintaining the balance, but spirit is bringing out the individualization. See, principle is objectifying itself as an individual expression of itself. So soul is maintaining the balance between principle and its individual expression, and spirit is taking that principle and diversifying, classifying, and individualizing it as an individual idea, which at the point of mind is manifested. Now, when that idea is manifested, it is understood. It comes to the point of mind. It comes to the point as an image in mind, the immediate object of understanding. So, therefore, that idea, when understood, causes simultaneously the retranslation out of any false belief concerning that idea. Now, that retranslation out of any false belief concerning that individual idea is what we call then the second translation, the scientific translation of mortal mind. And that is retranslated out then through 3 degrees. In 3 degrees, the evil belief or the false belief concerning that idea is attenuated until finally it disappears and only the idea remains. That is shown then through the second translation of mortal mind, the next leg of this law of the Christ, the Reformation on Christian Science. Showing then, through Mrs. Eddy's language, that that idea, that false belief, comes out of its realm of unreality, which is just the realm of misunderstanding, which is just the realm of a misstatement about the idea, which she calls then the first degree of depravity, the physical unreality, showing that it is that realm of false beliefs, false conceptions, evil beliefs, which arise from passions, appetites, fear, depraved will, self-justification, pride, envy, deceit, hatred, revenge, sin, sickness, disease, and death. That whole realm of evil beliefs in its cause and effect. They're shown then that that false belief now is in the realm of unreality, in the realm of what we call mortal mind, which shuts out the realm of the real. And so it is the Christ, through its self-operation, that through its divinely cybernetic self-operation, that it then begins the retranslation from the first degree of the physical, and the Christ takes us then through the second degree of evil beliefs disappearing, where that false belief against that idea, which has been born to consciousness, begins to yield. And we have much more a transitional stage called the moral, which is really giving us here mental qualities such as humanity, honesty, affection, compassion, hope, faith, meekness, temperance, until that false belief now totally yields into the third degree, as she shows on page 116 of understanding, where that idea has yielded, where that false claim against that idea has yielded to the full understanding of the idea that has been born to consciousness. And that then is the third degree of understanding or reality, where that idea which has been born to consciousness is understood, the realm of the spiritual, that the birth of that spiritual idea. Shown then that that idea is born through that law of unfoldment, through the wisdom of mind, through the wisdom of knowing then at the point of purity, being able to discern what is real from what is unreal, and being able to focus only on that real idea that was born to consciousness. So that idea now comes as wisdom to us. It stays pure by our focusing only on that idea, having the line of demarcation which has been separated away now from the false claim against that idea. That idea forms our spiritual understanding, which it has come in the name of spiritual power. And that idea then brings love into our life, the ability to turn away from the material concept of life to the spiritual realm. That idea brings health or wholeness into our life. That's why it came. It came as an idea of health or wholeness, as a gestalt to fit within, in its ideal form, to fit in the plan of love, of holiness. So this third degree then shows that every idea that is born of consciousness is born in the order, that law of unfoldment, that law of creativity, as we have there on the spiritual standpoint. With the goal causality we see here of love, whereas in the third degree then mortal mind disappears. See, you have mind and love, mortal mind, disappearing love. Or you could say the false concept about that individual idea that was born to us disappears. And what's in its place? Man is God's image. There's mind appears. So that idea as the real image appears. And in the third degree, when mortal mind disappears, along with it goes the second degree. Because the second degree is just a transitional stage between mortal mind and the divine mind of the spiritual. And that's why that second degree is called just a transitional stage. Now, we know then that this translation goes on simultaneously. Where then principle God is always translating itself from its infinite individuality to its infinite individualities as infinite individual idea. For every situation, it always comes, that principle God, that truth always comes as the specific answer to the specific situation. It always comes as a tailor-made answer, as the ideal idea to every single situation. And that then ideal idea comes then to us. It's born of consciousness by grace, by the Christ. The Christ brings then through its laws of truth, truth, life, and love, impelling then principle, life, truth, love, soul, spirit, mind to bring forth that idea, that individual idea, the saving idea, the idea that is love causality to meet the need. That idea just comes to consciousness, is born to consciousness through the Emmanuel, God with us. And then we see that once that idea just comes by grace, comes to consciousness as the saving consciousness idea through the Christ that brings to each one of us that which is tailor-made, made right to our situation. Always we receive through revelation the right idea, the specific idea, adapted to our need. Always. And that idea then simultaneously retranslates out from the first degree, the false belief, then, as I said, concerning that idea, through a transitional stage as that false belief against that idea within consciousness disappears. So finally, in the third degree, we have that idea understood through its law of unfoldment, through its law of creativity, and that idea then appears as the image and substance of our identity, and that all goes on in understanding. The whole translation is only going on within our consciousness, only. So we see that this then is the big law. This is the law of the Christ. Wonderful subject, as we know. We have many books now and tapes by, a law brought out there, shown in the Bible and then in the textbook. So we have many sources we can go to elaborate upon the law. But in its simplicity, we see then that this is just what is going on in the universe, including man. The law of the Christ, the law of translation and retranslation, the law of translation and reformation. Now, this is something then that is bringing the world forward. And we see then that it's bringing the world forward from what we see, what is called the material paradigm to the mental, to the spiritual paradigm. A diagram by one of our co-workers has done this very nicely, showing then that the world is then translating itself from a material standpoint. From the Christ is causing the world to come from that paradigm or model of reasoning of matter, the first degree, through the mental or metaphysical, finally into the land of the spiritual. Now, we know then that each of these paradigms are taken as reality, and that within each of these paradigms there can be self-justification, meaning there can be proof that every paradigm has its beliefs and its proofs within its paradigm. But these beliefs and proofs don't hold up to a higher paradigm as one moves forward, as the Christ moves us forward. Now, in that material paradigm, as we see that the question is, what is reality? Here, reality is answered as matter or material laws. Really a question of material monism, that matter makes up reality. And that this, in this paradigm of materialism of the first degree, which is a paradigm or a model of being for philosophy, which is the worldview behind in the physical sciences, or theology, or medicine, that this is a worldview. And that it shows here then that this reality is approached through the five physical senses, reasoning out from the senses, and that solutions are judged and determined according to the material situation. This we know then, we just put on the next slide and hold that because we'll come back to it, so hold that side. This we know then as materialism, which we know and have seen defined already in the American Heritage Dictionary as the philosophical opinion that physical matter in its movements and modification is the only reality, and that everything in the universe, including thought, feeling, mind, and will, can be explained in terms of physical laws. Here we have what we call material monism, that all is matter. Monism, we know, is that view that there's only one kind of ultimate substance. Here it's saying that one kind of ultimate substance is matter. And that even thought, feeling, mind, and will can be explained according to atoms in motion. This paradigm does not allow for any inspiration to the mind outside and above atoms in motion. That it doesn't allow then for a metaphysical, intuitive realm for inspiration or creativity. That they show that what is done from this standpoint is really more or less that rata-morphic view of the universe given to us by Ludwig von Bertalanffy, talking about this subject in his book, I believe it's called either Robots and Man, I believe that's the title of it, showing us that B.F. Skinner view of creation where that man only responds because there's clapping, huh? Because of the stimulants a violinist plays, huh? Stimulus, response, huh? Stimulus, response. That's that ratomorphic view that because a pellet drops, the pigeon pokes the little lever to get more pellets of food. It isn't because of any creative thinking, but it's because only one is operating within that realm of matter of stimulus response. Materialism then behind psychology, materialism behind philosophy, that logical positive view of the universe that says that everything can only be justified and explained from the five physical senses, and it does not allow from any metaphysical explanation. So materialism, then we know, forming physical science, everything is just atoms in motion, forming then our concepts of philosophy, psychology, and what have you. Something, a paradigm which is going on today. All right, then we can go on and see that the Christ then begins to take the world from this material monism higher in its philosophy and reasoning into which the next standpoint, which we have as mentalism. And always we know that these stages occur step by step. They're not big jumps from the first degree into the second degree. One always gets shades of steps. But here we show that the next big movement of the Christ is to take the world then from the second degree, from the first degree of materialism into the second degree of what is called the mental or mentalism. Here we see, and these are just big, big views. Again, nothing is that this black and white. There is always the shades going from materialism into a mentalist paradigm, which we'll talk about in a minute. But arriving in this second degree of the mental, the Christ then is attenuating evil beliefs, so to speak. False beliefs begin to yield concerning the universe. And reality is beginning to be explained then in terms of mentality, thinking, the human mind. And therefore, how do we approach reality? Either through my right thinking, how are solutions attained and adjudged, usually through the mental condition. Now, this second degree of the mental, then we can see begins to come into, and hold that, don't get rid of that slide, through a step-by-step in what is called so-called modern philosophy. We want to realize, and I know we do realize, that all these paradigms of materialism, idealism, mentalism, idealism, these have been around since the times of the Greeks, and that in different forms have their accentuation throughout the evolution of philosophy and the sciences. So it's just the accentuation in age will give either to materialism, to mentalism, idealism, is just according to an age. But these big, big movements out of materialism in general, to the mental, to the spiritual, are going on. Big world movements are going on within the world. And in what we would call, so to speak, modern philosophy, which is relatively modern to recent times, which is down given the point in and around the continental rationalists of the 17th century with René Descartes, who really then gives that step out of materialism into mentalism with his standpoint of Cartesian metaphysical dualism.